A town shrouded in enchantment and mystery. A place where magic weaves through the streets, and every corner holds a secret waiting to be discovered. This is the story of a town where the ordinary meets the extraordinary, and where the line between reality and the supernatural blurs. Get ready to be enchanted, to believe in magic, and to discover that the strongest power of all lies within the bonds we forge and the love we share. Welcome to Havenbrook.
Welcome back, everybody, to part two of episode two, which still has no name.
As of right now. But welcome back to Havenbrook. No, welcome back to somewhere else.
Natasha, update people where we left off.
I will try to get better at these updates so they are shorter. We met Emma and Noah and Noah's daughter Lily at the 200th anniversary of Havenbrook. There was a beacon lighting of the lighthouse. A weird ripple went through town. Everyone went to Emma's tavern, the Hearthstone Tavern, for dinner that evening. While there was a scream in the back, and it looks like there was a portal opened. Emma said she felt the need to go through to protect the tavern, the people who work there, and her customers, the people of Havenbrook. And Noah, stoically thinking of his daughter, steps through after her. The portal has closed behind them. And that's where we are.
And we're in a land that shifts and changes. It seems to be the very tall things when we first got here. Plants, large beetles. Everything seems to be fluctuating between big and small. Big and small as we're walking around. The landscape is very beautiful and bright, and there are different animals and creatures as we're coming along. After wandering for about 20, 30 minutes, Noah lets out a loud sigh and just stops and distracts.
Emma turns to look at him. I don't think that they have said much in these 20 minutes. They just have been moving through the space, knowing that they couldn't go backwards. Sheriff, I'm so sorry. I didn't intend you to come with. I know you had your little girl back home, and I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's not that. It's... I have no idea where we're going.
Can't say I rightly do either, but there has to be a way back. And there has to be a reason we were called here.
It's true, but how do we get to where we need to be? He starts looking around, and another 20 minutes passes, and now he's counting.
She watches him for a minute, raises an eyebrow, and wherever he is in his counting, she's going to be like, 82.
Things are shifting, and they're shifting every 60 seconds.
Oh. As she says that, she looks over at, what's a fun little thing? Last time I said a bunny, so this time I'll do something else. I think there was a turtle or something that resembles a turtle slowly meandering across their path, and she watches it, and it goes from a big turtle, size of maybe one of the Galapagos tortoise size, pretty big, and it just shrinks down to itty bitty. It almost gets lost in the grass.
Oh, like that, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Every minute. That's got to be wreaking some sort of havoc on whatever this ecosystem is.
Yeah, it can't be good for anything and everything around it. So, I'm going to just, for your safety, you should probably step back a little bit as he moves a little bit to the left.
What are you doing?
29, 28.
I'll take a step back.
26. And then he finishes counting, and as soon as he hits one, a giant flower just bursts into large size, and he's lifted up into the air.
Oh, well, now you're very clever, but what you gonna do about it?
I'm looking to see if I can see anything. He's walking from one side and looking around, and then walking all the way around. And I do. There's something to the west. It kind of looks like a castle.
A castle? Well, I don't know exactly what I expected here, but that wasn't it.
He's like, oh shit, oh shit. And then he's like, two, one, and it starts to rapidly go down. He jumps onto another flower that's growing, but grabs onto the stem of it and slides down it like a fireman's pole.
I don't believe it's the first time you worked a pole.
Volunteer fireman, what can I say?
That isn't exactly the kind of pole I meant. She just sort of heads off towards the west.
As you're walking through, you see the constant shifting and changing. He timed it to 60 seconds and he's timing it again, and now it's becoming erratic. Things are out of sync now.
Okay. So everybody's 60 seconds is kind of on its own time, or not necessarily everything moving at the same time.
Right.
I wonder if there's some sort of nexus of activity at the castle?
Maybe.
Closer
the only thing that I can see through the brush and the grass and the ever-changing things.
I suppose. Does it feel weird to you that we haven't... Well, I mean, I suppose we haven't really tried talking to any of the animals, but is it strange to you that maybe there aren't any seemingly more intelligent, in quotes, life forms that we've seen?
Well, there's a castle, so it must mean that there is some sort of intelligent thing.
I suppose I just... With a place like this, I guess I just always assumed it would be crawling with all sorts of little tricksters.
True, but something's going out of control, and maybe they're all taking shelter.
That's true. Okay.
Or this could just be a Tuesday.
Maybe we popped in during siesta time.
He chuckles to himself a little bit. All right, it should be just over this hill. You march up the hill, and all you see is an open meadow. You don't see the castle that he pointed out.
Sheriff, are you sure that there was a castle over here?
I'm 100% sure. It's right over here. And he points over into the big open space.
Emma's gonna find a rock on the ground, toss it in her hand a couple times, and then chuck it towards where he said the castle is supposed to be.
You hear stone hitting stone.
Well, all right. Not exactly sure why you shield it from vision down here, but not up there. That doesn't make a ton of sense, but maybe the invisibility's part of the weirdness going on.
It's invisible? I can see it clear as day.
You can see a building here?
Yeah, the door's just over here. And he points over to the left.
Well, either you can see some things that aren't there, or I have some sort of deficiency in seeing this castle, because I don't see a damn thing.
Okay, well then, give me your hand and I'll take you. He reaches behind him.
She will take his hand, telling herself, knock it off, don't be flirty about the hand-holding. Again, married man, let's just continue.
He walks through and you go along what you feel is a rough stone surface, but you can't see anything. And then you see him stop, and then he just politely duh, on the door.
She sort of is still holding his hand, rocking back and forth on her heels.
This feels awful strange. If it's a big old castle in the middle of this place, I mean, they might not exactly be welcoming visitors.
Yeah, true, but we at least tried to knock, so if we enter, we said we knocked, but nobody answered. That way we don't die.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something about being a cop and not being able to go in without due cause. Anyway.
I think the rules of, our world don't match the rules out here. So I think we can get a free pass. He just pushes open what would be a door. As soon as he opens it up, you can see the inside of the grand entrance.
Oh, my. Not that I thought you were exactly kidding. You obviously knocked on a door and I could feel the stone, but it is a little jarring to see the inside of the castle when you can't see the outside.
Well, it's a little jarring to see things grow and shrink and grow and shrink and grow and shrink.
I suppose. All right. Lead on, Macduff.
As you go in there into the castle's grand entrance, you see that the walls are trimmed with pastel pinks and blues and purples and yellows and greens, and everything is trimmed with like a gold color. There's a set of grand stairs leading up into another doorway, and then in front of you is another doorway, so it looks like maybe there's an audience chamber in front of you, and then up above a different area. So do we go up or down?
I don't know. Everything in me is saying that we should be announcing our presence.
Oh, hello! And you hear a bit of an echo. Hello! And then it changes to voices. Hello! That's
interesting.
Odd.
Interesting. Excuse us!
And then the same thing happens. Excuse us! And then it changes.
I don't know that I like my voice being mocked back at me in an echo. I think we're just going to have to face the facts that nothing here is going to seem to make a lot of sense. Well, seems to be some sort of audience chamber down here, but maybe something more up there. Do we feel the need to investigate first or see if we can talk to somebody?
I'd say see if we can talk to somebody, because we did kind of break in.
All right, that's fair. Better to go in like we're already trying to do and say we're here. All right, she'll start heading towards the audience chamber area.
He is not far behind. You reach a grand set of intricate doors that seem to be carved from wood with giant oak trees carved into the front of it.
Well, that's beautiful. As she reaches out to touch the handle of the door, I feel like it could be a little more festive, though. I mean, this is sort of a little magical world, you know? So as she reaches out and touches the door handle, little leaves start to sprout on the carved oak tree, but they're actual green leaves. I think that's a little cuter.
I agree.
Simply a thing we cannot think about. All right, here we go. And tries to open the door.
When you open the door, you see a woman in pastel purple and gold clothing sitting on a grand throne. You see different other people running around in royal garments, but they don't make any sense to you because you haven't ever seen anything like it. It's bits and pieces from different eras thrown into one outfit. And there's all pastel colors. There's someone that's in all pastel pink, all pastel blue, yellow, green, and so on and so forth. And they're just scrambling around like madmen.
She leans over to Noah. I feel a little bit like we're walking through an Easter basket.
Yeah, I hate fucking pastels.
There's a lot of pastels. To each their own, I guess. She'll try to flag down one of the courtiers who's doesn't seem that high up, because we are nobody. If this is some sort of queen holding court, which is the vibe it's giving. So she'll just try to flag somebody down.
You managed to grab someone dressed in all pastel green. Yeah, can I help you?
So sorry. We took a left turn in Albuquerque and ended up here. Just wondering, what's going on?
Oh, you haven't heard then. I mean, if you're just a recent traveler, welcome to the Court of the Meadow. Usually we have grander entrances for visitors, but this is a very scary time.
Scary time? Why's that?
Oh, Queen Cassiopeia's crown was stolen. I'm sure if you came here through the wilds, you would have seen everything going erratic.
Well, we did. Yeah, we did notice that on our way in. Her crown was stolen. Do you have any ideas by who?
Most likely the tricksters.
The tricksters?
They've always been jealous of the queen, but we've had a treaty with them for a long time. We haven't had to have war amongst our nations for a long time.
She's going to scratch her head a little bit. In a real long time?
Mm-hmm.
When did the crown go missing?
Roughly about a week ago. And we didn't notice any of the changes in the wilds until it started getting really big. Started off small and slow, and then now it's just getting out of control. Soon it'll overtake the kingdom, and possibly some people will get hurt, and we don't want that.
No, we don't want anyone getting hurt. That'd be awful. Well, what do you think, Sheriff? Do you think we could wrestle up some tricksters?
I wouldn't say why not. I mean, I don't know what they look like. You know what they look like?
I don't. She leans over to the guy who's been talking to him. You're going to have to give us a little bit of help here. What do these tricksters look like?
Oh, well, you can't really see them. They're so quick. But if you ever did catch one and they were slow enough, you know that mm-hmm. they look like gnarled, messy cave people.
Okay. Gnarled, messy cave people. Are they kind of rocky? Are they kind of just dirty?
Well, they look dirty. Their skin is usually a dark green or, you know, ash gray.
Okay. But they move real quick.
Yes.
Okay. Look, before we try and do anything, we should probably talk to Her Majesty, I suppose.
Well, of course. It's tradition for visitors to get an audience with the Queen. If you're willing to help, I can set something up.
I think that's probably the best. I can't imagine we're going to find a way back home until we help these folks out.
Agreed. He looks you over once more. You should probably do something about your outfit so you don't stand out. And he snaps his fingers and your clothes are instantly transformed into... You're in this big old floral-looking ball gown with lots of pastel colors and fluffy ruffled sleeves. It's the most hideous thing you've ever seen. It's an 80s bridesmaid's dress that the bride knows clearly that no one would look good in, and she wants to make you suffer.
In my head, it's pastel colors, but the patterns on it are all the patterns you would put on an Easter egg, but all at once. So yes. It's just like awful. Oh, well, look at that.
Well,
thank you.
You're welcome. And then Noah's like, well, I never owned a light blue leisure suit, but I guess now I do. And you look over, it's pastel blue all the way down.
Is it velvet? Because that'd be very funny to me. Perfect. Does it have like a frilly ruffle shirt?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Perfect. Well, now, don't we just make what the... If people could see us back home, I hope they never do.
Agreed. Okay, now be on your best behavior. We're already going through some things. If you say the wrong thing, it might mean terrible things for you.
Again, we're brand new here. Are there things that are kind of offensive in your culture that we just don't know about? I don't want to
offend anybody. There's so many different things, but you'll find out when you cross that road. And he pushes you forward in front of the queen.
She's staring back at him. That wasn't very helpful. And stumbles a little bit and looks over at the queen. Your Majesty. And does a little curtsy.
Oh, hello.
It is a pleasure to have made your esteemed acquaintance.
It's nice to see you again, too, Gemma.
Hmm?
It's nice to see you again, too, Gemma.
I'm so sorry. Have we met before? I'm Emma.
Now you're Emma, but you were Gemma before.
I was Gemma. She's just like blinking a lot. I'm so sorry that I do not recollect us meeting in the past. This is Sheriff Noah Chamberlain.
He takes a bow.
We sort of got here in a roundabout way.
Passed through one of the portals.
Yeah, yes we did. It seems that there's a bit of a problem and something's gone missing.
My crown. The Crown of Stars controls everything in the Land of Faerie.
Oh, so things are being affected here in the Court of Meadows, but they really, the whole thing is
yes, but it starts here, where the crown belongs, and then expands.
Okay. Now, the gentleman over there, she vaguely points in the direction of the guy who helped them, told us that it was stolen by some tricksters.
We don't know which tricksters, how they managed to get in, but they're the only people fast enough to be able to get past our defenses and get through unseen.
Okay. Well, if we can, we would like to offer our services to try to help in your situation.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And in return, when I get my crown back, I should be able to send you back home.
Oh, we would most appreciate that. We gotta get the sheriff back to his little girl.
Yes, Lily, she's such a beautiful girl.
I think Emma stares over at Noah like, this bitch said she knows your daughter. How you doing?
He looks a bit visibly confused, but he's connecting the dots faster than most people would.
Okay.
All right, he seems to be doing fine. Okie dokie. Yeah, she's a real sweet thing. But yeah, we definitely want to get him back home to her if we can. Do you have a description of the crown that we could kind of know what we're looking for?
Okay, so you know how you look at the night sky and you see all the stars?
Yeah.
That's exactly what the crown looks like.
Okay. But is it like a little tiara top style that looks like that, or like a bigger crown? It's or like is it like the literal crown. Sky?
No, it's a bigger crown.
Okay, bigger crown. And begging your pardon, but given the namesake of the queen here, does it have kind of a prominent, almost a W constellation on the front?
No, it just looks like a starry sky.
Thought for sure the constellation Cassiopeia was going to be right front and center.
There's a constellation named after me? That's so lovely.
Oh, there definitely is. It's one of the few that I remember. Not very big at astronomy, but there's a couple. Ones that aren't too big I can usually sort of figure out.
You've turned into such a bright woman.
She's a little awkward. This is a weird compliment.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm sure you have done wonderful things with your kingdom since the last we met.
She puts her hand over her mouth and chuckles a little bit.
Okay, so we know kind of what these little tricksters look like. We know what your crown looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're awful fast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereabouts, why might we start looking for these little critters?
Well, when you leave the kingdom of the Court of the Meadows, you will head into the Pixies Playhouse. Don't let the name fool you. It is their land, so be careful. They like tricks, and they like the tease, and they like riddles and jokes and stories.
Got it. Pixies and Trixies, got it.
And when you leave from there, you'll hit into the Sprites territory.
Okay. Pixies and then the Sprites. Is there anything we should be wary of with the Sprites?
Just go with the flow.
Okay.
And then after you leave the Sprites territory, you'll be into the Trickster's Labyrinth.
Pixies, Sprites. Tricksters, and it's a labyrinth.
Mm-hmm. And at the center of the labyrinth is their city.
Okay. City at the center.
And that's most likely where you'll find my crown.
All right.
I would gladly send my own men, but we can't risk an act of war after all these generations of peace.
Of course. Now, begging your pardon, I don't mean to be offensive if I am, but on the off chance that we get there, and they weren't the ones who stole the crown, should we report back here right away so we can reconvene about another plan?
That would be lovely.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Sheriff, you got any more questions?
No, that sums it up. Oh, I love your lovely outfit, but if I'm going to travel, I'm going to need something a little bit more comfortable.
That is true. This gown is lovely, but is not going to travel well.
Oh, yes, of course. She snaps her fingers and your outfit changes into something that you thought was super cute if you were going to go on a hike. That you may have saw in a magazine, or you like always had this mind that if you were a hiker, this is what you'd wear.
It is definitely the red and black, like buffalo plaid flannel with heavy duty leggings, and she's got a camelback in her backpack, a little bandana, and like the brown hiking boots that look really great. She wiggles her toes.
Oh, thank goodness. These are like pre-worn in. That's fantastic.
And you know what? Dressed in some tight jeans that fit perfectly. He has big old black army combat boots and green and brown camo style t-shirt. He also does have a backpack as well, but he also has a sweatband and a cap.
Yeah.
And then his cap is class of 85, but you're, why the hell did he graduate in 85? Why is this hat so important?
Mm-hmm. Class 85. That doesn't seem to fit a timeline exactly right there, Sheriff.
Oh, no, no. When I was a kid, my mom took me to one of the thrift stores or antique stores, and I fell in love with this hat. And he takes it off. I thought I lost it camping once.
She glances over at Cassiopeia.
I have a feeling that you might have, and maybe you're just finding it again.
And he's just so happy. All the happy memories that he had comes rushing back, looking at that hat, and he puts it back on.
All right. That's lovely. In theory, we might be all set. Thank you, Your Majesty, and again, like a little curtsy, for your kindness and hospitality. We do what
don't
we
need
can.
To be so formal, Gemma. We're old friends after all, and you can call me Cassie again.
She her eyes widen a little bit.
Cassie, I would love to do that. However, I feel that until I recollect some things awful quick, I just want to be respectful. I don't know. There's a lot of memories that I think you have and I don't, and I don't know if I'm there quite yet.
No worries. Good luck on your journey.
Thank you. Is there a way we can get a hold of you if something happens while we're out there before I go, or we just come on back here?
Just come on back here if anything dangerous happens.
Okay, we'll do.
She hikes up her backpack a little bit and... it's got that tie around the middle, whatever thing. So she buckles that and nods over to Noah.
All right, Sheriff. Whenever you're ready.
I'm ready to go now. He elbows you a little bit. I'll explain on the way.
Yeah, okay. That might be nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You head out into the kingdom and you go through some of the jungle and woods that are shifting and changing after about maybe 45 minutes of hiking in the direction they sent you to. Everything stops. It's like a normal forest.
Well, it's a little bit of a relief that that is on hold here or hasn't reached this far yet.
Agreed. So, you're probably wondering why the Queen knows you?
I am, but I also have a sneaking suspicion about it that I am a little nervous to know the answer to, I think. But she takes a deep breath. All right, go ahead.
Childlike wonder and imagination.
Okay.
And you had an imaginary friend, didn't you, when you were a kid? Everybody does. I get the feeling that maybe she wasn't so imaginary after all.
Oh, well, that would be lovely, actually. Quite lovely. Smiles a little to herself. There's a lot that I don't remember too well from my childhood, so I'm not exactly sure about that being true or not, but I'm going to choose to believe it is. And she pats Noah on the arm and sort of keeps moving.
You travel for another hour or two, and then you see this handwritten sign that says Pixie's Playhouse, but all the words are misspelt, and some are backwards.
All right. You ready for Pixie's there, Sheriff?
Ugh, I guess so.
Don't sound so excited. I think she's going to go ahead and just take her first step into the playhouse.
You take your first step, and as you step on the ground, it makes a little giggle noise.
I stop right away and squat down to look at the ground to see if it's the ground giggly, if it's the grass, if there's a creature down here, what it is.
You look down and all you see is the ground.
All right. I lightly pat the ground.
And it giggles again.
Hello there. It's a pleasure to meet you.
And then Noah steps through and it giggles. And as he starts to walk towards you, it giggles as your footsteps. So it sound the giggling replaces your footsteps.
She chuckles a little bit. Well, this is a very interesting place. They definitely love laughter. She runs around a little bit because it's amusing to her. In my head, it's like they have like those piano staircases some places where every step is also a slightly different key too. Mm-hmm. So it's a bunch of laughter, but it's discordant and all over the place. And probably doesn't sound that great to people who are not currently being amused by it.
Right. I feel like I'm in a horror movie right now. Noah stands up straight a little bit.
Oh, come on now, Sheriff. I know you got somewhere deep inside there you got to have a little bit of fun. I saw the way you snuck up on Lily at the ceremony earlier today.
Well, yes, I do have a lot of fun, but giggling is just one of those weird things. If I don't see a person with giggling, I want to run in the opposite direction.
She just shrugs at you and keeps on heading into the playhouse.
You continue on into this dense forest, and it changes from the leaves being green to being striped red and white, and the trees go from like a brown color to a bright fluorescent orange, and everything just seems like if you were to walk into or look at a plastic toy where everything is all different colors and it's real things, but the colors are just so fake.
Mm-hmm. The thing that's red and white, can I go over to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that the likelihood that this is peppermint is really low, but it's all I can think about, and she licks it.
It does taste like peppermint.
It is peppermint. Look, I can see by your face you are not having as good a time as I am.
Well, I need to lighten up because if I don't, there may be problems with these pixies.
That's right. Now you take a lick of peppermint bark here and just, I don't know, get the wiggles out.
Get the wiggles out?
Yeah, get the wiggles out. Just like stick out your arms and start to wiggle them.
Yeah, he until sticks out his
it
arms.
It goes to your whole body and then just wiggle your whole body.
You can see he's just trying to entertain you just a little bit, and he starts to prance around a little bit and then fine. Then he shakes everything.
Perfect. Sometimes you just need to get those wiggles out. especially if you've been holding them in, and I can tell somebody who's holding wiggles in when I see him. She's having a much better time than she anticipated. She's taking her bandana that was kind of up here as like a sweatband or whatever. She's taking that off and has it just sort of tied around her neck very loosely and like a cute little bow or whatever. She's taken off her little flannel jacket and it's tied around her waist. She's just having a good time.
You come across, as you're walking, a gigantic river. And when you look into the river, you see smiling faces and everyone's laughing, but there is no noise.
Now, if you thought the giggling grass was a little bit scary, you don't want to look in this water.
Why? Oh, dear God!
I told you!
As you look at the river, it is really, really long. Each time you take a look to gauge how long it is, and maybe you could swim across it, it gets longer.
Uh-huh. Well, interesting. I think this river is playing a little bit of a trick on us. What do I want to do? She is going to just stick her hand in the water.
As soon as your hand ruffles the water, you can hear many different people laughing all at the same time.
All right. She looks over to see Noah shiver. All right now. She looks down to the water. Now, I know that you like to play, but we got to get across this here river to get where we're going. So, if you want to play a game to help us across, we'd be more than willing to play.
As soon as you do that, the water, instead of it being multiple faces, it turns into one face that's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It nods its head while it's laughing. And then the minute you do that, a stone comes out of the water, like a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. And it has some words written on it.
Okay.
I speak without a mouth and hear without ears. I have no body, but I come alive with the wind. What am I?
One moment. Okay. Say it one more time for me.
I speak without a mouth and hear without ears. I have no body, but I come alive with the wind. What am I?
Speak with no mouth. Ear with no ears. I mean, if it weren't for the ear part, I would have said wind chimes, but wind chimes don't hear. She's chewing on a nail and like tapping her foot. Sheriff, if I'm completely honest, the hearing without ears part is giving me a little bit of trouble.
Well, you have ears.
Well, I know I have ears, but the riddle.
At that point, you're pointing at the stone that he had not been noticing because he was too creeped out by the laughing.
Oh, yeah. You know, the riddle to get across.
Oh, okay. He looks down at it. No, that's easy. It's an echo. And then as soon as he says echo, it reverberates and two more stepping stones rise out of the water.
Oh, well, I don't know about the wind part of that, but if you say so. And she steps over on the rocks.
The last rock, there is another riddle.
Mm-hmm.
I can be cracked, made, told, and played. What am I?
Cracked, made, told, played?
Mm-hmm.
A bell?
Nothing happens.
Now, I know for a fact that there is a bell in Philadelphia that would argue that it can, in fact, be cracked. Oh, that's a different kind of told. I was thinking toll a bell, not T-O-L-D told. I gotta read better sometimes. AKA Sam just wrote it in the chat and it is not the kind of told that I wrote. Bell. That's a joke.
As you hear laughter, two more stones rise up.
Hop, hop.
The last stone has another riddle. What is seen in the middle of March? In April, that can't be seen at the beginning or end of either month.
Are.
And as soon as you say that, three more stones pop up. And the last one has another riddle.
Mm-hmm.
I fly without wings. I cry without eyes. Wherever I go, darkness follows me. What am I?
I fly without wings, I cry without eyes. Where I go, darkness follows me. Clouds.
And then as soon as you say clouds, the last four stones rise up and you can make it to the other side.
I get to the other side and turn around and look down at the water. Thank you so much. It was lovely playing with you.
And you see the solid head laughing and he's shaking his head side to side like he's waving bye with his head. All right, let's get the hell out of this laughter town. As he's walking, the giggles are getting louder.
Oh, Sheriff, you just got to embrace it. It knows when you want to fight it. Kind of like how cats know when you don't like them.
Okay. And he slows down a little bit. And as he starts to walk, the giggling stops.
Yeah, you just got to embrace it a little bit.
Okay. Can do. All right, so what's next after this?
After the Pixie's Playhouse is over to the Sprites.
Okay. Do you walk for another couple hours? You end up coming across another handwritten sign that's painted where everything seems to be spelt wrong. Numbers are backwards. Numbers are used instead of letters. And it says, "The Sprites territory. Stay out."
Can I knock on the sign?
Sure. But as soon as you do, a little figure that looks like if it were a little fairy pops up. But you know, you just saw fairies and they were your size. But why is this one so small? Yeah, what do you want?
Well, hello there. We're just wondering if you would allow us entry into your beautiful country.
Why do you need to come through here?
We're just on a journey.
Oh. Well, nobody really comes to visit. Sure, come on in.
That would be lovely. Thank you so much. And she'll stick out her pinky, I think.
And then he shakes your pinky.
My name's Emma. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you too. My name's Dewdrop.
Dewdrop. What a lovely name.
Mm-hmm. I'm Dewdrop the Fifth.
The Fifth. Now, is Dewdrop a paternal name, or a maternal, or just kind of everybody?
Everybody.
Well, that's lovely. Are you named after your mama or your papa?
Well, I'm technically named after my mama and my papa.
Oh, two dewdrops made a little baby dewdrop.
He chuckles. You're right!
At this point, we're walking. I'm like, will you come with?
I have nothing better to do.
Been lovely. Hold out my hand so I could just talk to this little sprite. Every once in a while, I'm glancing over at Noah. How you doing?
He's like, looks at you and he's like, okay, it's a little out of my comfort zone. My name's Noah. Nice to meet you, Dewdrop. Thanks for the help. We're new to this area. Just passing on through. And then Dewdrop's like, oh, that's cool. We don't get very many visitors. People spread rumors about us that we're really terrible and we like to eat people's faces. That doesn't happen.
Well, that's not very kind. You've been just an absolute delight to know.
As you continue to walk, you walked past a sign that, since you were too busy talking, you didn't bother to read. And you continue to walk through the forest. It gets thicker and thicker. The leaves get closer. And then you start to hear whispers from the trees.
Emma stops moving and says, now hold on, Sheriff, just a second. Dewdrop, did we go somewhere? I feel like we need to make some introductions. I think I missed something. Hello? And she's like talking out loud to the anything that's listening. I'm so sorry if I missed something. My name is Emma, and it is a pleasure to meet you. Our friend Dewdrop here is just showing us the way through your lovely, lovely area.
As soon as you say that, the whispers start to coalesce into a voice that you can hear, but it's a whispered voice. Mm-hmm. Have you seen her hair? It's terrible. I know, and those shoes, they're awful.
Well, now I wouldn't imagine that things that look nice to people look great to trees. We got very different fashion senses, but I do think that your bark is very lovely. And I love what you're doing with your canopy.
I heard she killed somebody. I heard that she doesn't want to run her tavern. I heard she inherited it.
Well, now y'all like rumors an awful lot. Do you want some truths or you just want more rumors?
Noah cocks his head to the side. What are you doing?
I'm just talking to the trees.
And he reaches over and he do you want to sit in my hand real quick? He's like, yeah. He walks over to Noah. Is it normal for people to talk to trees? No, we don't talk to trees. Okay. He sits there and he thinks for a minute. I mean, unless we crossed into the forest of whispers, then don't listen to what they say.
Don't listen to what they say? Oh, are they supposed to be... Oh, I gotcha. Y'all are just a bunch of little insult trees.
Yes. And he looks over at Noah. What's an insult? Oh, when you make fun of somebody or come up with a lie or try to hurt someone's feelings? Yeah, that.
I gotcha. All right, well. Heard. Thank you, Dewdrop. You are just a wonderful, wonderful guide. I feel like this is a good start to a friendship. I don't know about you.
You really want to be friends with a sprite?
Why wouldn't I?
Most people don't like being friends with a sprite.
Why?
Because they think we're bad. When we're not really bad. We just like to have fun. The pixies, on the other hand, so all that laughter. Ugh.
Oh, you and Noah have something to talk about.
And he got the willies over there. And he like puts his finger to him so he can high five his finger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he absolutely hated the Pixie Playhouse. There's a lot of laughter. I think, you know, I get it a little bit. The river was a little unsettling at first, but it's all right. And keeps on going through the woods.
As you come across the woods, the trees start to wilt and go old and... The ground starts to crack more and dry as it turns to a rocky type texture. You continue to walk. You come across this giant gorge, but you do see a bridge. However, the bridge looks like it was made of spider silk.
Dewdrop, do y'all got giant spiders?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. We've got lots of things here.
Dewdrop, I think this is as much an adventure for you as it is for us.
I was supposed to hang by the sign and warn people about the dangers of crossing into the sprite territory. And I'm never supposed to cross the bridge. So I have to stay here.
Well, that is just a shame. It's been really nice getting to know you on our little walk.
True, and I'll give you a bit of pointers before you try to cross the bridge. It's kind of a magic thing. You need to be light. If you're not light, you might fall.
You need to be light. Okay. You might fall. Now, Dewdrop, honey, is that like a light spirit or like a physical you need to not weigh very much?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to figure that out yourself. I've never crossed the bridge.
All right. Well, maybe we'll try a little bit of both and see how it works.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you, honey. Lovely meeting you.
And he starts to fly back to his post.
Well, he was lovely.
He was. We may have to talk to the queen about everyone's opinions of these pixies and sprites. Maybe they all aren't bad. Maybe it's misconceptions.
I think it probably is. You know, there's always that saying that a few bad apples ruins the bunch. So I'm sure that there were probably some sort of nasty little sprites and pixies at some point, and they just got a real bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate.
It sure is. So how should we pass this stupid bridge as he looks over? Because I don't want to be down there.
Wow, what's down there? And she's going to look down into the cavern.
Well, you know those giant spiders that you were talking about and asking about, they're down there waiting for their next meal.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, it's a good question. I don't really know the answer to, Noah. How to be light when we go across that there bridge. If we could, well, I don't know if we rightly could, but maybe.
And she's having a little think.
I think we should probably try two things at once, and we'll never really know which one did the trick, but
okay,
we'll just try it. So, okay. First thing, is there anything on your mind, Sheriff, that you want to talk about?
That anything I left that's my daughter behind, yeah. That she's lost another parent, that my wife is really dead. List could go on and on and on.
Okay. Well, we
or even worse, she's still alive and she just abandoned us.
That would be awful. But I need you to look on the brighter or the lighter side. You have gone through an awful lot with you and your little girl. And I know you had to overcome a bad past with your pops. And look at everything wonderful you have achieved in the last few years.
It's true. Lily has grown into a smart young girl. The community is better.
And the whole community is looking out for her. She is not wanting for people who care about her. Same for you, by the way.
And she pokes him in the chest really hard.
You may have sprained your fingers on his pectoral muscles.
Don't give her ideas. I know you were saying you're looking for new friends and everything, but I think you'll find that the town is more willing than you're thinking to be friends with you. They're just waiting for you to come around.
Okay, you have a point. All right. I feel better. Good. Is there anything you need to get off your chest?
Well, I don't know if it's Look, okay, I will. In general, I think things have worked out okay, but it was weird coming to Havenbrook, where I'm from, and being an outsider. My first year here was a little tough, but the last four have been real great. When Gus died, and I inherited the tavern, I had never met Gus. And I know everybody in town was wondering how we were related and all that. And, you know, we just let that be water under the bridge and I kept on going and the tavern's okay. So they're okay with me. But I still, to this day, don't know how I was related to Gus.
You would know that Gus Caldwell was the former owner of the Hearthstone Tavern. When he died, he did give all of his earthly possessions to Emma Montgomery, who wasn't from the area no one had ever heard from or of before. It was kind of a stir because Gus didn't have a wife and kids to leave his stuff to. A lot of people thought he might leave the tavern to Chef Thomas, who had been with him for a long time.
Well, I know the people of this community think highly of you, and it's like you have always been meant to be here. So, I mean, that shouldn't be a worry. I can't answer old Gus. I mean, he was a mysterious old man. I mean, all I can say is maybe he felt you needed this.
He might have. I mean, I've been learning more and more about Gus when I'm not working, and he was a lovely old fella, and I do still wonder how he even knew I existed. I honestly, you know, I almost didn't come to Havenbrook, and I think that would have been the biggest mistake. But you know, when they first reached out to me, it was like, you know, those spam emails and text messages where they're, your distant relative has died and left you $30 million, and you gotta wire us $1,000 so that we can transfer the funds, and it's just a big old scam. I really thought it was one of those. And I got a couple letters and then a couple calls. And eventually, a lawyer showed up at my apartment. And that's the only reason I ended up coming. I asked him about it later, and he did say that Gus specifically stipulated in his will that if they could not contact me by letter or phone, that someone had to go find me in person.
Well, that is a bit odd.
It is.
I guess maybe it was the tavern that needed you.
It might have been. Oh, and I love that tavern. And I love this town.
And it loves you back.
I got something to protect now, and I didn't ever have that before. It means a lot to have, and to be here, and to be accepted and loved by the community the way I am. I do sometimes worry about all that, but sitting here and actually finally talking about it to somebody has helped so much. And now, it's not just a burden I'm holding on my own anymore. It's something that maybe, if I really, really wanted to look into, Sheriff, I know.
And she stops herself.
No.
Noah. Which she has very purposefully not said his name very often. She has just been calling him Sheriff.
Noah. I think that I also have not necessarily been as open to friendship as I could have been. And I know we haven't talked a whole bunch on this journey and everything, but I'm not good at asking for help. But I think if I wanted it, I could ask and you would give it.
100%.
That's not anything small.
She looks up. Her eyes are a little glistening. There's things about her past that she didn't discuss, but it's kind of all said there that she didn't have much to fight for before, but now she does. And then she heads over to the Spider Silk Bridge and says,
and one more thing. I keep saying there just ain't time to worry about it, but this is the time to worry about it if ever there was one.
Wind starts to billow around them a little bit. And as she steps out onto the bridge, the wind is bolstering her up to make her physically lighter as well.
I think I got some kind of magic.
And Noah just laughs. Oh, you've been at just about everybody in this town, but you know, we don't talk about it unless, you know, they bring it up, because it's just how we do things and have always done things, which is a little weird.
It is a little weird, and I mean, you think everybody has something?
I mean, just about everybody, if not everybody.
What's your thing?
I have no idea.
Well, you gotta have something, Noah. You aren't just like getting out of here scot-free. We're gonna figure out what it is.
And she tries to cross the bridge.
She succeeds.
When she gets to the other side, she looks back.
All right, now I'll help you out as much as I can.
And sends the wind to sort of help with Noah as well.
And he crosses the bridge just fine as well. Well, I'm glad we're not a spider snack.
Me too. She nudges him a little. And it's kind of fun not ever knowing which one of those things did the trick.
It sure is. But Emma, if you want to find those answers,
yeah,
you won't have to find them alone. And he outstretches his hand to you. I'll be there right by your side.
She looks at his hand and sticks her hand out and then goes, mm-hmm, and gives him a big hug around the waist.
He hugs her back. You'll always have a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me. Oh, we probably can't sing that on a podcast. I don't know where that came from. Well, all right. I suppose
she looks around the area to see what it looks like.
Based on everything getting kind of dry and crusty, I'm guessing we're getting close to the Trickster's Labyrinth.
Shouldn't be too long, I hope, as you walk through the stony, messy, grungy, dirty looking area. As you continue to walk, it takes you maybe about 3 or 4 hours, and you're just talking randomly about different things like mm-hmm. hobbies and things that you like, and finally opening up to one another.
Yeah.
That's that point of acquaintances.
Yeah.
When you start to notice that the grass is starting to turn greener, the rocky path that you had is starting to turn to more of a dirt road, and everything starts to brighten up, and you end up reaching what you can see as a giant hedge in front of you. Probably 10, 15 stories tall.
Oh my. Well, unless things are deceiving me, I imagine this might be the start of a labyrinth.
Yes, it is.
Well, I suppose we better get it going. Otherwise, we're just never going to make it back.
No, we aren't. It's going to take forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we've already been traveling for most of the day.
Is it still the same day? Because honestly, because our adventure started at night, it's starting to feel like we've been doing this for about 3 days.
I know, and I don't feel tired. Is that normal?
I think it's probably a thing about fairy.
Okay.
And then I will head on into the maze.
And he Leverance. Follows right behind you.
Oh, Noah, honey, we should probably have some sort of, I don't know, do you have some rope in that bag? Do I have some rope in this bag? And she starts digging through her bag to try and find rope. She doesn't need a lot. Things are going to be tricky here in the trickster's labyrinth, literally. So she wants to have something that they can both hold on to.
You find a little piece of rope that you can, not mm-hmm. super long, but long enough yeah. for you to have a bit of distance and to hang on to so you don't lose each other.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so you go into the labyrinth and it's huge and green and lush, and it looks like nobody's been here in years.
Well, this place is kind of beautiful, though, as we're walking through.
So for this, I'm going to need you to make me a roll.
Okay. Is this like a directional roll?
Yes. Whether you find the correct path or not.
Okay. I could use some magic on it, but I've already used magic on another thing, so I'm going to just do a straight roll for this first one. Didn't need it. It's a 6.
Nice. You feel like you're going the correct way so far. You're twisting and turning, and you know, you're noticing the hedge starting to have pillars carved out of wood in it now. Mm-hmm. So it's changing different sections. You've reached another area out of just the lush green.
Okay, I think this is going all right so far.
So far, so good. Another roll, please.
Okay, do you want to do a roll as Noah?
No, it's all you.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. And I think she's too confident in how things started to have used magic this time to try to give myself an advantage. That's a 1.
Oh. Well, you notice when you're walking and you're confidently walking, and then all of a sudden you realize after maybe 5 or 6 minutes, you've been walking in a circle, but not a really long circle, a short circle. Mm-hmm. And every time you made a turn, you thought you were turning somewhere else. Because the turn would go right, then left, then right, then left. But you're going in a circle.
Well, dang it. All right. Okay. Once we get back to around where I think the start is, of where we made this decision and it was the wrong choice, I'm going to reach out to the wall of the hedge and have just a little pink flower appear, just to be like, all right, now we've been here mm-hmm. and we did the wrong thing, so now let's try the other way. And then I'd be like, all right, we should try to do this smarter. And she'll try to she has control over but doesn't necessarily talk to the elements. She is going to just start leaving a breadcrumb trail of flowers along the hedge as they go.
Okay.
That's a 6.
Yay. And then you go and you find another path, and it's getting less hedgy and more wally. it's turning into wood paneling, and then it's wood hedge.
All right. This here is getting a little different. Let's see. What can we do?
I dig through my bag. It's not magic, so it won't give me advantage. But I'm just going to take anything that is like a marker or a pen, or if I can't find any of that, like a melted chocolate bar, whatever I can find. Yeah, charcoal, chalk that you would use for climbing, whatever of that happens to be in this bag, I will use to kind of mark the first wood section or so that this is where.
Well, what would be in Emma's bag?
And it was kind of just a bag put together of things she imagines she would need on a hike. Or in this magazine's shoot of a hike. The thing that immediately came to mind was a hike on a Red Rocks sort of situation. Very rocky. And I think kind of also hiking, but also a little climbing. So I think that there would be some of the chalk and that probably the rope they're holding is climbing rope. Mm-hmm. And she's got some carabiners and whatever. So I think she'll just dip her hand in the chalk and just handprint.
Okay.
And then she's going to look over at Noah and just because, hey, Noah, you got a little something. Some right here, I can get it. And then when he leans down, she just goes on his face. Perfect.
And he just starts laughing. Sounds good.
Okay, and now we'll go ahead and keep going. All of this was cute, but didn't give me advantage.
Nope.
5.
All right. You managed to make your way through doing a left, a right, and then you backtracked, and then you did a backflip and a shimmy shake, and you ended up in another area where it's starting to turn to stone walls.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this part is getting kind of stony. I mean, in theory, the more wall-ish it is, the closer we're getting to a city, right?
Right.
All right. Okay with that. Let's go. 6. I'm doing good rolls.
You walk and you walk and you walk and you feel like you've been walking for hours.
I was so confident that we were on the right track, but how far do you think it is to this city?
I have no idea.
Then again, what am I talking about? This is a city and a labyrinth of tricksters. Not gonna just end up there immediately.
She stops for a moment, looks around her at the large stone walls, and then she just goes and knocks on the stone.
Can we come in?
No response.
She shrugs. Well, it was worth a shot. And then we'll keep walking.
As you're walking, the stone starts to turn back into the hedges, as if you walked back around to the beginning of the maze.
Oh, well, this is upsetting.
I look over at Noah, a little dejected. I really thought we were doing so good.
I mean, I thought we were doing good, too. You were doing such a great job leading the way. I didn't even have to tell you where to go.
I mean, did you know the way the whole time?
Do you not see the arrows on the floor?
I look down. I assume there's no actual arrows there.
There's not.
Honey, there's no arrows on the ground.
Oh. Okay. That's odd.
Well, okay. Now, hang on just a minute.
And she leans against the hedge and crosses her arms and stares at him.
Now, I'm not exactly sure. It can't be that you see invisibility, because I don't necessarily think that if there's arrows on the ground, they're invisible. And the castle was invisible. But you knew what the queen was talking about. How did you find that book that you gave Nell?
Well, I was going through some boxes and the sheriff's office one day, and I just found it amongst the stuff, and I just knew she needed it.
And you just knew she needed it?
Hmm?
Well, I don't know, that doesn't explain the queen part. I was gonna say that maybe you just know where things have to go, but that That doesn't make sense for that part. Maybe you just see... Noah, tell me a lie.
I don't like your hair.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe I'll tell you a lie. Okay. Pink is my favorite color.
No, it's not.
How do you know? I mean, I know I told you it was going to be a lie, but...
Well, because you don't look like the type of girl that wear pink.
Okay. Do you know what color is my favorite?
You like a deep royal purple.
She tells
but you
head.
Never wear it because you don't think you look good in it, but it's still your favorite color.
She smiles a little bit. Sugar, I think we found what your magic is. Find the truth.
Oh.
You know I lied about pink, but there's no reason you would know about the purple. I don't wear it all the time. You're right. I don't think I look good in it, especially with my red hair. But I do have a big old purple velvet couch at home.
That sounds awesome.
Well, if you know the way the whole time, where are the arrows leading?
Well, he grabs your hand and he just walks and he's walking and walking and you come up to a wall and he just doesn't stop walking. And you walk through the hedge and you go into the next area and he's walking and he's walking and you see wood posts and hedge and he walks through another hedge and you get into the next section, which is more wood and stone. And he doesn't stop walking and he walks through one of the wood paneling fences as if it wasn't really there. And then he just keeps walking and then walks through the stone. And right there, you're in front of a massive stone city.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, I think it's a little odd.
But you got us here. She pokes him again. How you feeling about that?
He laughs a little. I'm kind of ticklish. Stop it. And he slaps her hand away.
Oh, you shouldn't have told me that. I'm going to do it all the time.
I guess we should see if we can talk to somebody and figure out what's going on.
I mean, we can't just, like, walk in there and be like, you stole, give it back.
True, or we could find somebody and then ask him if anybody's come back with anything new.
I suppose.
And if I can find the truth, I'll know who's lying.
That's very true. All right, so do we start just at, like, the front gate?
Yeah,
do you think they have to declare things like customs?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. You go up to the gate. And you see what looks like, if you had to guess, it would look more like a gnome, but taller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more like albino looking skin mm-hmm. than it is the weird skin colors that they were mentioning they look like.
Okay.
Can I help you?
Hello there. My name is Emma, and we're just passing on through. We are looking for something that a friend of ours lost. Just wondering if anybody's come through with anything new recently.
Well, just describe what it is, because lots of people come back with new stuff. Some of these people really love the fudge that those pixies make. But don't tell those pixies, because then they'll get a big head. And if you've ever seen a big-headed pixie, oh, God.
I imagine it'd be pretty hard to fly. Well, it is trying to figure out a way of describing it without saying it is the crown of the Court of Meadows. Oh, well, it's just a piece of jewelry. It looks very flashy like the night sky.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Now that you mention it, I think Dodger came back with something like that.
Who?
Dodger?
Dodger. She looks over him at him. Like an Oliver Twist?
Why would you be twisting Oliver?
Some people are mean. I personally wouldn't twist Oliver, but anyhow. So Dodger came through with something like that. Whereabouts can we find him?
Oh, he's probably in the city center.
In the city center. Okay. What's he look like so we can find him a little better?
Well, he's like me. Shorter beard, a little bit taller, a little bit skinnier.
Okay. Wonderful.
And he likes to wear this Red Hat.
A red hat. But what was your name, honey?
Oh, my name? Mm-hmm. My name is Sludge.
Sludge, it was wonderful meeting you. Oh, thank you nice so much for your help.
You're welcome.
We walk through. I'm going to look over at Noah.
Well, how much of that was bullshit?
None of it.
Lovely. You know what? Everybody is always talking about how bad Fairy is. And I have had just a pretty good time. The spider silk cavern thing was a little scary. But for the most part, it's been pretty nice.
Right. I didn't like the disembodied laughter, but once I accepted it, I mean, it seemed like a kind of nice place.
Yeah. And now we know they make lovely fudge.
We'll have to grab some on our way back.
To be honest, though, I would still maybe be a little weary of fudge. Well, it depends. I don't know why the tricksters like it. I don't know if they like it because it tastes good or if they like it because maybe there's some X-lax in it. And it's a good joke.
Maybe. You're right. Either the way. Should be really. Got it. Got it.
All right. Well, I guess we'll head towards the city center and look for this Dodger fella.
Sounds like a plan. You head towards the city center, and as you're walking, people in the streets are waving hello to you because you're new and look different than them. Most of them all look like Sludge. The men have beards, the ladies don't. They're dressed in reds and greens, but they're all like dark colors.
Okay. Kind of more earthy tones.
Yeah. You make it to the city center, and as you enter the giant town hall-ish thing that they have, you see a guy serving soup to a bunch of kids, and he's wearing a bright red stocking cap.
And he's running a soup kitchen for kids? Okay. I make a little pouty face. I know that this is supposed to be a place of tricksters. It's in the name. But, I mean, I don't know if I've seen anything more wholesome or anything that breaks my heart quite so much.
Looking over at all the little kids, I'm going to walk over to Dodger.
Excuse me, Mr. Dodger?
Yes, hi.
Hi, my name is Emma. I was just coming on through. We're looking for something that a friend of ours lost, and Sludge at the gate said that you came in with something kind of like it.
Oh, yeah. One of the fairies gave it to me.
Which one?
Oh, I don't know. They always wear pastels. It's hard to tell them apart.
Well, I mean, yeah. Do you know what color pastel it was wearing?
I think he was a little different than all the rest. I think he may have been wearing mint green?
Mint green. Interesting. Well, you see, it wasn't his to give away. And
oh,
that's very unfortunate. But our friend is missing it quite a lot. We're wondering if there's any chance that we could get it back.
Oh, sure. Hey, Mary, can you take over my shift? And I'm going to help these nice people here. And you see a little sprite float up. Got it, sir. And then she starts divvying out soup to people.
Emma looks over. Oh, it is lovely to see a sprite working here as well. We were led to believe that there just wasn't an awful lot of kind of integration amongst all of the different fae folk.
Well, we do have the name of tricksters because we do like a little gag here and there. As someone, one of the kids go to sit down and you hear a whoopee cushion fart.
Yeah.
And then everyone starts laughing.
Emma also laughs.
Well, that's lovely. I do have another question, Mr. Dodger.
Mm-hmm.
I do see you have an awful lot of young children here that you're doing a wonderful service for, and that's beautiful, but is there an awful lot of poverty here in the Trickster City?
Well, we don't have much, and we share amongst each other. I mean, you've seen our land. It's not that great.
Hard
we
to
don't
make
get that many
grow,
visitors.
Yeah.
And we have a bad reputation, so we have to fend for ourselves. So we do just fine.
Okay. Well, I think it would be much more neighborly if some of your fae folk friends checked in on you guys every now and then. I think I was telling my friend Noah here, and I gesture over to him, that I think there's just a couple folks who maybe gave everybody bad reputations a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it wasn't our fight. I mean, all those people are long gone.
Exactly, and it's no sense that you guys are paying for those misdeeds of people in the past.
True. But, I mean, you can't tell a fairy that, and
well,
most sprites don't believe it, and pixies feel the same way.
Well, then maybe what you need is some sort of a council, where it's just kind of people from all the different groups, and there's people from even outside of that there to sort of mediate, so you don't kind of get all on each other's throats.
That's a good idea. He's leading you through the town. He stops in front of a door. Maybe we should. And then he goes to knock on the door. Hey, Jinx. It's Dodger. I'm bringing some bad news. The door opens and you see this lovely trickster girl that looks right about the same age as Dodger that comes out, and she's wearing the crown. Yes? It looks like we got something that wasn't ours. And I know I have to give you something that isn't mine, proposed to you. So we'll have to hold off on the marriage for a little bit longer, but we shouldn't take things that aren't ours. And tears start to well in her eyes as she takes it off. Okay. And she hands it back to him.
Emma looks on at that with just like lip quiver.
No, this is just silly.
Noah is just, ugh, okay. And he takes off his wedding ring and he's,
Noah,
this is important to me, but this is important to you. He hands it over to him. You can have this. He looks so excited and he hands it to Jinx, and she starts to hug him and they're so happy.
I'll hold the crown and sort of be looking, instead of at this very cute little they love each other moment, I'm looking very seriously at Noah.
That was a very big gesture, Noah.
Well, I mean, I have my memories and it's just a thing.
It is just a thing. But sometimes things mean an awful lot. And she gets a little teary.
And it'll mean an awful lot to them.
It's a way better idea than the bandana I was gonna give them. I'm gonna look over at Jinx and Dodger and smile and say, I really hope the best for you two.
Thank you.
I don't know if there's anything I can do to help, but if there's anything I can do, I'm going to try.
Well, maybe you could talk to the Queen of the Fairies.
Yeah.
Cassiopeia seems like she's such a nice lady from what we've seen and heard. Maybe she can unite the kingdoms? That might help a little bit.
All right. I'm going to try. I'll do my best. And if I can't, well, we got to head back to where we're from. But maybe we can come through again sometime.
Oh, well, that would be lovely. It's good to make new friends.
It really is.
I don't have any very meaningful items to also give them. My bandana is sweaty, so it's not a good gift. But she's going to say, do you mind?
I don't know if it's something that you'd be willing to give me, but there is something else I would greatly like to ask for.
Sure.
Can I get a hug?
And they both hug you.
I have an arm around each one.
Oh, this has been just a wonderful experience. Thank you so much for all of your kindness.
Thank you for letting us know that that didn't belong to us. Our marriage would have been tainted if we would have went through with it.
I think that it might have felt like a bad omen, but I think the love between you two is strong and pure, and nothing like that could have tainted what you've got.
Thanks. He hugs Jinx. Good luck on your trek back.
Thank you. Good luck to both of you.
And then she's going to hand the crown to Noah.
You gave up something awful important. I think you're the one who should hold on to that.
Okay. And he reaches into the back of his bag. This is what's been poking me in my back the entire time. It's a box that the crown can fit in.
Well, of course you had a big old hat box back there. Why wouldn't you? With that said, I'm guessing we'd head back on through to the court of Meadow.
Yes. You get back to the court of the Meadows and it is bustling more than it was before. The forest that you walk through that wasn't altering shapes and sizes is starting to like go all haywire, and the area that you passed before is going faster and faster with the size changes.
Well, looks like we're getting back in kind of the nick of time, maybe. We head into kind of like the court area. Do we see the guy in mint green, who I believe is the guy we talked to when we first came in?
No, that was a different guy.
Different guy? Okay.
You do not see him right away when you go in. You see the fairies all trying to, they have a table in this room now, and they're figuring out battle plans and moving little figurines that look like little sprites and little pixies and little tricksters. Oh, and they're trying to formulate battle plans, but it looks more like they're playing like a little board game.
Mm-hmm. I think Emma sees it, and at first she thinks they're playing a board game. Well, this is a weird time to play a game. And then she realizes it's battle strategy. And it's instinctive and she cannot stop it. She doesn't even know she's doing it. She's so mad. After everything they've seen, they were going to go to war. A little spark starts right in the middle of the table to burn up the maps.
And everyone gets quiet and turns to you.
She's just standing there. She doesn't know that she's what caused it. She knows that she had a burning rage about it. There shouldn't be a war. Talk to your neighbors.
And then they pipe up, why not? They stole the crown, and if we don't get it back, all of Faerie will be lost.
Yeah, hush yourselves. You're a bunch of fools.
Noah reaches into his bag and pulls out the box and then opens it up. See, all good. And walks it over to the queen and bows down and lifts it up so that she can take it and put it on. Or are we like, is this appropriate or is someone supposed to put it on?
I think, well, walk over. My finger is still in like my backpack straps. Personally, I think it's fine.
The queen reaches and puts on the crown and you feel like a hard rumble as the ground starts to shake, and you notice that the things around you aren't changing anymore. When you look out the windows, everything's back to normal.
Well, good. Glad things are righted here, but Your Majesty. And she nods at her with a look in her eye that says, I know you said call me Cassie, but just let me have this. I think there's an awful lot we got to talk about. Okay. But I think we need to get one of your members of court here with us for the discussion.
Oh, sure. Which member?
She's gonna turn and look to survey the room to see if she can see anybody in mint green.
You do see someone in mint green. He looks like an older man with one of those old powdered wigs, but it's tinted mint green, and he's whispering into the ear of someone else.
That man right there in the mint green.
Okay. Cetus, come here. And he stops, like he's caught doing something wrong, and walks over to where the group is. Yes, Your Majesty. Have you gone through with your battle plans? Should I plan for the invasion of the Pixies Playhouse first?
I stare at him. You want the war?
Well, of course. They're dirty, terrible Pixies, and sprites are terrible, and oh, don't get me started on those evil tricksters.
You are a horrible, horrible man. And a gust of wind comes by and knocks off his powdered wig.
And it is bald, not shaved bald, but the comb over, I tried to fix it, frayed troll doll looking hair.
Your Majesty, this crown was not stolen from you by the tricksters. It was stolen by this man and given to a trickster who took it in good faith.
Is this true, Cetus? He looks worried and upset. Yes, I don't care. We needed to go to war. We needed to expand our area and treat them like they should be treated. They're beneath us. We're better than them.
That is absolutely untrue. If you all had gone outside of your own borders for even a moment, you would have found that the Pixies, while sometimes a little unsettling with their amount of laughter, look over at Noah, are just looking to have fun. The sprites are incredibly helpful and wonderful folk. And everybody at the Trickster City is just doing the best they can because they don't get any of the resources of the richer part of the Fae world. All of the wonders of fairy around you, they don't get. They have a little, and they share it amongst themselves, and they're happy with their lot. But y'all could be doing so much more to help.
He looks disgusted and angry, and he goes to pull out a weapon and attack you, but it's a little toothpick. Mm-hmm. If he did hit you with it, it would do no damage, but, you know, he's angry. But he gets caught by the fairy guards, and the queen is just shocked by the whole thing. Put him in the dungeon. Then he's screaming as he's being dragged away about how we're all blind and how we should be keeping ourselves separate from the unclean masses.
What a horrible, horrible man. But I'm glad that this is back where it belongs. But I think you got
agreed.
An awful lot of work to do.
I agree. I feel so embarrassed. He was my father's advisor, and I thought he was helping us.
I think that sometimes we take advice from people older than us who've been doing a job for a long time because they did things a certain way in the past, but that doesn't mean that their way of doing things was right. I think you gotta figure out how you want to lead. This is your kingdom, and these could be your allies, not your enemies.
You're right. I'll take that into account, Gemma. Thank you.
Of course. She looks over at her and takes a deep breath. I think there's some things that I still don't know, but I know that you mean well, and I feel that stronger than ever. And I honestly think the reason I knew I had to come here was to help you. And whatever we were to each other in the past, I would greatly like to consider you my friend now and in the future.
She gets off her throne and comes over to you and gives you a big hug. We were never not friends. It's just the way things are. You forget about us.
I don't know if you guys know what's happening back in Havenbrook, but something happened today. I don't know if we're going to forget about the Fae as much as we used to.
No. No, you won't. And maybe that's what should happen. But when you have access to our world and we have access to yours, it's a very slippery slope. It's happened once before.
Is that what happened? It just, when that beacon went off, what happened the time before?
Well, there was a bit of an incursion from different realms. And our realm could touch yours. And only children could see us. And that's the way it's always been. But when they grew older, they forgot about us. Couldn't see us anymore. And through our exploration, there are other creatures besides us. Other things, monsters, entities. They're coming for Havenbrook.
She takes a deep breath and looks over at Noah. Okay. Then I think we probably better head back.
Yes, and when you do, find the Guardians. You'll help protect Havenbrook. Every time it's needed, 4 Guardians arise to help Havenbrook.
Okay. 4 Guardians arise to help Havenbrook. All right. We'll try to find them and see what other help we can do on the way.
Mm-hmm. Your first step is to find the door in the lighthouse.
Okay. Find a door in a lighthouse. Okay.
She's just waiting, like,
Well, what's step two?
That's up to you. She waves her hand and the portal that you walk through before opens up.
As they're about to walk through it, she turns and looks at Cassie one more time. I have a question, and I don't know if it's going to be a good answer or a bad one, or if you're even going to know it. Noah's wife. Can we find her?
That I can't answer.
All right. Well, we'll work on it. She walks sort of hand in hand with Noah back through the portal.
As you walk back through the portal, your clothes change back to what they were originally before you had left. You hear the scattering of footsteps as if, you know, you had just told them to get everybody out. So you can hear like the chair movements and them running around trying to tell everybody about the gas leak as the portal behind you closes.
Emma has a moment of thinking maybe I should go tell them everything's fine. But we gave them a reasonable explanation, and it wouldn't be the worst thing for everyone in town to be going home. She looks over at Noah. What do you think? Should we stop him?
I think what we should do for this town is something special. And he pulls you in a little bit closer and explains his plan of maybe we can do some outside food for them so that they can enjoy the stars. I feel that's right.
She nods. All right, we'll do that. I'll let him know. I'll tell the staff. She sort of squeezes his hand really tight. You gave up something important in there, Noah. I know you don't think it was... Well, I think you know it was a big gesture, but thank you for everything. And she will have to go tell the staff that they're going to move everything outside and set up tables and make an announcement herself to the people who are clamoring and whatever to try and calm everything down a little bit. Everybody move safely outside. We are going to set up some chairs and some tables out there. You will still all be getting your dinners. We're just going to eat out on the sidewalk tonight.
Everybody works together to put the tables and the chairs outside, and they're served a little bit different food, so it was a little bit easier to put together, but Everybody's enjoying it and they love it. It turns out from what could be a really big scare into something that is almost magical that everyone's going to talk about for a while. Because the town is darker than normal, so they can see all the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And as you take a moment break to look up, you see Cassiopeia staring back at you.
Beautiful. I think we have to stop there. That feels like a good stop moment. Wonderful, beautiful. Everyone, thank you so much for being with us on this little journey into Faerie and Havenbrook. Little bit more of the interactions between the worlds in our lovely new game.
You forgot something.
What did I forget?
The epilogue.
Epilogues. Well, I know that you said that there's an awful lot that you want to dig into about Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you still want to do an epilogue or do you want to revisit him later? Or is this kind of a both situation?
It's going to be a bold situation to set up why we're going to follow him a little bit.
Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and let you lead.
Okay, we open up to mid-afternoon, sunny day. You see Noah walking down the street with a cup of coffee from Brood Awakening. And he takes a sip and smiles. He's like, perfect cup of coffee all the time. I don't know how he does it. I don't even have to ask for it. He waves to the people and then he stops and he pulls out a key out of his pocket and then faces an old looking door and unlocks it. It pans up to the sign and it says Isabella's Antiques and Uniques as he goes inside to finally look for the clues that he was afraid to look for as the door shuts.
Okay, that's lovely. For Gemma, she decides that things at the tavern are nice.
But she's been thinking a lot about what she told Noah in Faerie, that a lot of people in town didn't understand Thomas not getting the tavern because he'd worked there so long. He's such a good chef. His food has a way of making people feel. So one day, she has Thomas come in and sit across from her in a little office. It's not an office in Emma's style. It's more Gus. Leather armchair, big desk. Pictures of his travels on the walls that she's just never had the heart to take down. Well, Thomas, I think you know that you are invaluable to us. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. But I think what's in everybody's best interest, especially yours, is that I let you go. She explains that part of what she inherited from Gus, there's some money set aside, and she's going to work with Thomas to set up his own restaurant in town. Sarah, the person who's kind of been the sous chef for a while, is going to move up to being their main cook, which will leave a vacancy to be filled, should anyone want to take that position. They work on getting that set up for him. In the meantime, she starts going through more and more of Gus's things, trying to find out how he knew she existed. Always a little rattled by everything that happened in Faerie. Things were wonderful and magical, but also a little strange to be treated like a good friend of a fairy that you can't remember ever knowing. And as she's going through things, in the safe, under a false panel that she never would have normally noticed, she finds a manila folder with some documents. When she opens it up, it does say, Gemma Montgomery. I guess that's where we'll stop for her.
Yay! Okay, epilogue done. Thanks for joining us on this lovely journal for episode 2 of Havenbrook. Yeah. And join us for our Zot,
which we're going to go do right now so we don't talk about stuff. Okay, love you. Bye-bye. Mwah.
Peace out.
Thank you all for joining us on this story from Havenbrook, our narrative RPG. The stories we tell here on Party of Two, Roll of the Dice, are helping to create the town and develop rich backgrounds for the NPCs. Thank you so much for being part of this journey. If you have any questions or comments about Havenbrook, or you'd like to help us playtest the game, please email us at joinpartyoftwo@gmail.com. Or send us a message on Instagram, username joinpartyoftwo. For both of those, that is the number 2. Join us for new episodes every Friday. Want to support the podcast? Subscribe to Potrod and give us a rating. If you leave a name you'd like us to use in the rating, we'll include a thank you in an upcoming episode. You can also follow us on Instagram. We love you. We miss you. We'll see you next week.